Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome. Hey Showmance listeners out there, we hope you're staying safe and staying inside. We'd also like to say thank you to all the workers out there who can't stay in. We are thinking of you and so grateful for your service during these uncertain times. And if you are inside and looking for something to do, feel free to go back and listen to our older episodes. And thank you again for listening. We'll continue to roll out our episodes as planned until further notice. And now, on to the show.
Gleeks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes,
spill all the Glee tea,
and break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showmance Glee Recap Edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
To Showmance Glee Recap Edition, Quarantine Edition.
Yeah, Kevin, we're going to say that a lot. A lot of these are Quarantine Edition.
I'm Jenna Ushkowitz, reporting
I'm Kevin
from
McHale.
My kitchen.
I'm in my office. That is also the recording studio in my house and an extra bedroom. So I had to kick everybody out because people work and sleep in here.
Fancy. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jenna.
This is weird.
Isn't it weird? I wish I could be with you right now.
I know. It's weird. And the last time I actually saw you, was when we were recording Mattress in your house.
Yes. And Heather came over and you came over. And it was just before everything got shut down. So we were like, should we be seeing each other? And we didn't really know.
Right.
But we kept it small.
We maintained a good distance and kept it short and got out. And here we are. How are you handling quarantine?
It's a little up and down.
Yeah.
The first week was sort of like the honeymoon phase of like, oh, this is strange and like maybe fun. Then second week was the realization of, oh, this is going to be a while. Oh my God, I'm filled with anxiety and dread and people are dying and this is very serious. What am I supposed to do? And third week, which is what we're in now at the time of recording this, I feel much more balanced because now that we sort of know this is a long-term-ish thing, then we have to adjust accordingly. And it's not a vacation. It's not time to just sit and panic. We got to do all of that still, but maintain sort of some
sanity.
Sort of normalcy.
Right.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, I feel the same way. Like there's waves of all these different emotions and it's just like balancing them all. So like, I feel like I had a good grip on it early on because I spend a lot of time at home. I work from home. A lot of that was like, oh, I can make this work, right? I'm used to this.
Exactly.
And then it was like, I was really angry at people who weren't staying home because it was like, wait, all these people get to go out and we're home. And I knew we were doing the right thing by staying home. And like, I knew we were doing this for the people who are out there now and have to be out there. But it was also like, well, why the fuck do they get to go out? You know what I mean? Like there was like this real anger.
I had that as well.
Yeah. And then it was like the reality set in and I have to like temper how much news I read in the day, in the weeks. And because otherwise you get really sad and really down and like it's tough. Like this is not an easy normal time for anybody.
I've definitely limited my news consumption where before when you're running in and out, I'd sort of just have like CNN on in the background all day.
Yeah.
And now I allow myself like an hour to watch it. And that's about it.
There's something very calming to me, though, about being able to check the news. So I do it when I feel like it. You know what I mean? Because I like to know. And if I don't know and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to check it, there's something like that gives me anxiety about that.
Definitely. Well, it's like when you're home and you have nowhere else to go, you know, it's always there. So there's no rush.
Exactly. What is keeping you sane during these times? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Like, what are you doing these days?
Well, when I manage, first of all, Dua Lipa.
Yes.
Her new album is so good.
And so many
bops. It came out, every song. And it came out right at the beginning of this, which was really helpful. Unfortunately, I think her album leaked. And so she moved up her release date. But let me tell you.
It's a gift.
It helped me a lot. I'm sure it's helping a lot of people because it is just nice, happy, fun dance music. And that makes me then want to work out more because it's something I can listen to while I work out. And if I can find the courage to work out in the day or the determination, then that also makes me feel a lot better. The days where I was just talking to someone about this earlier, where there are days where I get up and I can meditate and I'm eating a healthy breakfast and I'm reading my book, like really engaged in it. And then I do a workout and have a healthy lunch. And then I feel good that day. And right. then the next day is usually the opposite, where I'm just like eating cake. I'm stuck on the couch, filled with anxiety and dread, watching the news. Right. And that, and, you know, and then you just get in that cycle of getting down on yourself. So the things that have helped me have been reading. I've been reading a lot. And I have a little book club with some friends. And that's so great. We've been pushing each other to get through some of the books and finding good music and exercising. All of that helps.
Good.
What about you? I feel like you're so good. You exercise every day and you've been posting it. And that absolutely motivates yeah. me to
Oh, good. It. I'm glad. I love working out. It keeps me sane. So I try and move every day and it makes me feel better. And that's why I do it. It's not like, oh, I have to push myself to do, you know, like I like it. So I work out, which is great. It makes me happy to hear that it's inspiring you and hopefully other people
it
to
totally
work out
does.
And just to get moving. I actually have a workout buddy, a virtual workout buddy, my friend Cynthia, and she hosts Zoom classes and like, and then on the day she doesn't, we work out together. So we just turn Zoom on and we turn a video on or whatever it is that we want to do that day. And we work out together. So that way, like it keeps me accountable even on the days when I'm like, I'm a little tired, which is great. Mm-hmm. David and I have actually are putting together our Hogwarts Legos. And then I just bought the Friends Central Perk Legos. And we've been playing a lot of poker, just one-on-one poker. And we also have been watching The Sopranos for the first time.
Oh.
So we picked a new show that we're watching. And then I watched, obviously, Tiger King like everybody else. Wild. Really, really wild.
I think I'm the only person who hasn't watched it.
Kevin, you got to watch it. I had a feeling you hadn't watched it. I don't know why, but you got to watch it.
You knew.
And I did. And then I also am watching Sex Education right now.
Best yes.
show ever. Best
oh,
show
it's
ever.
So good.
So good. And then we also have been, we set up a double date for our, me and my friend on Saturday. So we're going to order sugarfish and we're going to sit outside and we're going to have a glass of wine and we're going to have a double date.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's just like little, like setting up dates and trying to find the new norm of what's not normal, but like what will keep us like feeling like we're doing something. You know yes. what I mean? Because like we really yeah. like to go out and eat and we like to.
Totally.
You know, that's where we find a lot of joy. So anyway, that's what I've been doing. I'm not a reader. I rarely pick up a book during the year. So, you know, it's like the one thing that I'm like, everybody's reading, like you're reading a lot. And I'm like, you know what? It's the thing that I don't like to do. So I'm not going to try and do it
yeah.
because I'm in quarantine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there was also like something to knowing what you'd want to read anyway, because I finished one book that was, I was already in it, into it before this whole thing started. And it's about AIDS in the 80s, which is a virus and it's, you know, it is killing lots of people. And I was just like, why am I reading this right now? I was like, what? And then the next book I picked to read that I had already planned on reading was a book about climate change. And then I actually had to just stop reading that.
Yeah.
Because I was like, okay,
I hear you.
This is too bleak. Like, I can't, I get I need to read this, but I'll pick it up in 2 months. Like, I can't do it right now.
I hear you. In the same vein, actually, with the theme of the pandemic, and we decided that we were going to work on our earthquake kits as well. Because here on the West Coast,
ooh,
you have
smart.
To have an earthquake kit. So we actually have been doing that a little bit every day as well. So,
and luckily, like, speaking of binging things, rewatching Glee fits nicely into all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. Yeah, it's hard. And we're so grateful for the people out there who have to go out every day and who are going out and choosing to be out to save lives. And, you know, we,
oh, yeah.
we thank
have
you
it
all.
Easy.
And yeah, and we're literally asked to sit on our couch to save lives. So we're very lucky that we have food and shelter and our health.
That's the thing. Anytime I need to go out to get groceries or I'm like, oh, I should just go do a Starbucks run or something. Everything I do, I consider like, okay, I now need to think about what are my actions and what are the impacts that they might
right.
have. Because
right.
if I go out, I interact with one person, who right. might be sick, and then I'm sick, and then I then have to go to the hospital, and I'm putting that caregiver's life at risk because right. they have to take care of me.
Exactly.
And so it is this weird dystopian thing of every action I take, I have to consider
yeah.
something
yeah.
like that. And then anytime I get groceries, I have to wipe everything down, disinfect it. It's like a weird, weird time, but it's all, look, all we have to do is sit at home. It's fine.
Right.
That's the easy part.
Exactly. And get through the day, which is also.
And there's technology. Crazy,
but yeah.
And we can still talk.
Goodness gracious. And do podcasts.
Yes.
Well, we're thinking of everybody out there, and we hope you're staying safe and home and that you can. And we're thankful for all the people out there who are, you know, the cashiers and the medical professionals and everybody out there who's got to do something to help continue to make the world go round.
Before we keep going, I want to take a second and share with you one of our supporters, CauseBox. They're a subscription box by women for women. They deliver 4 times a year and they are filled with amazing products. You can get everything from skincare and jewelry to home goods and accessories. So right now, go to CauseBox.com/showmance and use the code showmance to get 30% off your first box and free shipping. I was so excited when I opened this box. I got this gorgeous tote by Rajul Official. I was just so thrilled. Everything in this box is so beautiful. The Lunar Nectar Jade Roller is everything, and I am living for it. These boxes sell out so fast. Every CauseBox is limited edition and comes with 6 to 8 full-size products valued at over $250. Plus, each box comes with a magazine that tells the story and mission behind each product. So get yourself one or as a gift for your mom or your sister. When you pick up your CauseBox, make sure to tag us on social and tell us about your favorite products as well. So go to CauseBox.com/showmance and use the code showmance to get 30% off your first box and free shipping.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
Do you want to talk about hello?
Hello.
All right.
So...
We're back. We're going to continue going with this because, I mean, I
literally have nothing else to do.
To watch Glee. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So, hello. This is the episode when we came back from the first 13 and realized we had picked up for the back 9. Do you remember when we found out we got picked up for a back 9, Kevin?
I do not remember. Do you?
No. I think it's because we were on our mall tours and our Australian tour at that time. So we were busy then. You know what I mean? We were still going.
We were very much like in the whole newness of it all.
Exactly.
We were glowing.
We were living life. Like we were getting flown to Australia and we were getting, you know, flown domestically around the country to go like meet fans.
First class for the first time.
Yeah, man. We were just living it. Except when we would go to the lounges at the airport on our Hot Topic tour and they would be like, I'm so sorry. Your children cannot come in here to our right. publicist. And we were like, cool. That was just very humbling.
Oh, yeah. Just when you think you're something.
All right. So I don't remember when we got picked up either, but here we are. We came back. Episode 14. Hello. So Hello originally aired April 13th, 2010.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So truly, like, we're almost in 10 years.
Yeah. Almost to the day.
Almost to the day. That's wild. Brad Falchuk directed this one. And do you have your notes? Do you have your songs?
Oh, no.
All right, I got it.
Hold on.
I
just X'd out of it by accident as you were talking.
It's all right. I got you. The songs in this episode are Hello, I Love You, Finn. Gives You Hell, Rachel and New Directions. Hello, Rachel and Jesse. Highway to Hell, Vocal Adrenaline. And Hello, Goodbye, New Directions. So we're already getting into way more songs.
So
this was filled.
It was filled, and it felt different to me. Did it feel different to you? Because it felt like...
Watching it?
To me, yes. It felt like this was almost season 2.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, definitely.
It felt like this show was now self-aware a bit. or it, maybe I'm just projecting, or it felt like we now have a responsibility because the show is doing well. We have to keep it going. We now have an expectation on us.
Right. We're conversely, like the 13 were, you know, like we were in a freaking bubble. Nobody knew anything. We were just like, we're doing our jobs. We're learning how to be on TV. And then this was like, oh, we're kind of popular. But it also felt like a new chapter just because like you have like John Groff and Rachel is going to have a new love interest that is going to flick her over.
It did definitely feel like this. I didn't realize all of these things happened so soon. I thought these things were season two. I did not realize, oh, we're meeting Vocal Adrenaline, Adina, like so much stuff that has really, I think, long-term ramifications.
I mean, Emma and Will break up already?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
This is wild. It really felt like, oh, what do we do?
Right. I know. And with that, like Finn feels like that too. He's like, what the hell?
Yes.
So, of course, the songs with Hello have been assigned to the Glee Club.
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, I remember when we were doing Gives You Hell, we were all like,
oh.
Yeah, we were like, does this work?
Oh. It's just those numbers, those weird numbers in the choir room where we all break into it. And we're like, okay, here we go.
Yeah. That was one of the ones that didn't feel as good.
But you know which one did feel good to me? Hello, I Love You. I love watching Corey get a whole dream sequence, huge number. Yeah. It's just my favorite. Because then you have all the hot cheerleader Cheerios in the number as well.
I also really liked his whole storyline. I liked watching him, like Finn, sort of go through the confusing things with Rachel and him just not getting a lot of it. And then, oh God, I'm even getting ahead of myself. But
yeah, I know. I'm with you.
Yeah. We'll get there. Okay.
I mean, no, go for it.
I really think Britannia came to life in this episode, which was
1,000,000%
revelatory. And their whole scene of Santana and Brittany talking to one another at Breadsticks, which also, hello, Breadsticks. We have a new set. We got the budget.
That's right. Well, we had two new sets because didn't we have the library as well?
Yes.
So the library is brand new where Rachel and Jesse St. James meet. And then we had Breadsticks, which would be a very hated place for us to shoot. And I only say that because, gosh, I love Breadsticks. But Breadsticks was always, if we were shooting, it would be the last thing we would shoot on a Friday.
Because we shot it on Paramount in a pre-existing location.
Right, a restaurant.
Was used, a restaurant. So we had to
wait it to close.
Yeah, and we had to wait for nighttime, and it needed to be closed. So
that's right,
it was always until the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, and we were like, all right, we're going to Breadsticks.
But let me tell you, there's no better way to meet Breadsticks than with Santana and Brittany talking like Finn isn't there.
Brilliant.
That reveal, I cackled because I completely forgot about it.
I know, it's brilliant. And then this is where the iconic quote of the episode and quote of Glee happened. Did you know that dolphins are just gay sharks? Are you kidding?
I feel like if we put a poll out saying the best, most memorable line in Glee history, I feel like that's probably it.
Close to it. Maybe a Sue line. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that and being a part of
something special.
Yep.
You're right. Well, I mean, Britannia just flourished here, and it's a new day and a new dawn.
I was all about it. Still about it. And I think that was my favorite part of the entire episode.
For sure. I was just reading this next line that I have here. And it says, Mr. Shu gets so mad at us because the New Directions don't realize the gravity of the competition we are up against. That's what you were talking about when it gives you hell. I was like, we have this huge number. And then all of a sudden it's like,
yes,
you guys aren't working hard enough. And you're like, what?
You're like, sir. Okay.
And it kind of felt like that when I watched it. I was like, okay. Yeah.
And I was also really thrown. So we get to know some new people at Vocal Adrenaline. We get to know the coach, played by Idina Menzel, and we get to know the head of Vocal Adrenaline, Jesse St. James.
Yes. Jesse St. James. Hello, John Groff. Hello, Idina Menzel.
Yeah.
Pretty epic.
And like watching, I can watch John Groff perform all day, every day.
Yes.
And I think I was so thrown by how nice Adina's character is, or how nice she seems to be.
Right.
Because you feel like there's this undercurrent of, oh, she's in on this relationship between Jesse and Rachel, and she's sleeping with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But she's so nice, and she's already at Schuster's house, and they're already hooking up. I was screaming at my TV. I was like, this telenovela is crazy.
You're right.
You and I don't really remember much about the back nine, like specifics, where the first 13 are very clear to me and to you.
Yeah.
And I now feel like I'm binging a show on Netflix.
It's true. It's also,
I don't really remember
this. Yeah, but here's the thing, like, this is a new chapter, right? So it feels like a new chapter for us, you know, and then we're watching it and we didn't have a ton to do in this episode either.
That's true.
So it came back and we were like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we do Give You Hell. We do the little scene with Rachel, and like, that's pretty much it. And Hello, Goodbye. So we're
and,
not.
And we
like,
paid a lot of money for a Beatles song.
That's true. We did have to, we had to set that up. You know, we had to set up everybody that was coming for the rest of the nine episodes. I will say, going back to John Groff, I'll watch him perform any day, and Highway to Hell is so high. Are you kidding?
Why? Why was it so high?
I don't know.
I was just saying the same thing. I was like, how is he doing that?
It's because he has a really high voice and he can sing like that. And that's probably why Ryan was like, make it, give him a song like that. Let's give him a song where he can wail. Wild. Also, all of our friends were in that number and it was great. And every time Vocal Adrenaline's on, I'm like a screaming little fangirl.
Same. I scream the entire time.
I also would like to talk about the scene with Sue and Zices. We get to really know Zices again. We're like, oh, hello, Zices. How's it going?
It's the first time we get to actually
like
properly meet her. Ashley.
It's great. Ashley Fink just is so great. And we
I also love that scene. It's absurd and it's so weird.
What does Sue say? So we have good. To get a bunch of people with glandular problems.
Yeah. Showmance is supported by Best Fiends. We all need a break now and then, but why not keep your brain active while you relax? That's why we love Best Fiends. When you need some me time, Best Fiends is a great escape. There are thousands of fun challenges and tons of cute characters to collect along the way. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. I am obsessed with Best Fiends. I've been playing it now, I don't know for how long. You guys know I love it. Genuinely, I am not a big gamer, and I love this game. There's a gripping story, breathtaking visuals, and tons of adorable characters that you strategically use for each level. Plus, you don't have to be a hardcore gamer, like I said, to enjoy it. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Hello?
Hello!
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes! Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hi, it's so nice to hear from you again. And Kevin, it's so nice to meet you.
Likewise.
Welcome
Thank
to
you
the show.
For you joining us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
We were just kind of recapping a little bit about Hello. But welcome, Danny Pellegrino. You were a Gleek, correct?
I was 100% a Gleek. Excited to be here. Now, you, of course, were on my show, Everything Iconic, and I've had Becca Tobin on my show.
Yes.
My dream guest is, of course, aside from Kevin, Leah Michelle, who I love.
Yes.
But I'm 100% a Gleek. I have questions for you guys.
Amazing. I have a question for you first. So, you know, we're talking about Hello today. What is your feeling or thoughts about Hello?
You know, I enjoyed it. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I didn't like go all the way back again, but was this the first Jonathan Groff appearance?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I thought. So I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed the Idina Menzel of it all. But I didn't think it was like the strongest episode you guys have had.
Oh no, definitely.
No, we were saying the same thing. It definitely was a strange episode and it was the first episode back after finding out we were picked up for a full season, and it felt like a new season and a sort of where do we go from here?
Right. Right. I felt that. There were also a few things that I just thought were like Sue Sylvester said something about like a she male or something. I was like, that would
yes.
be my today.
Yep.
You know, we say that a lot on our show now. Like a lot of our of this stuff did not age well at all. I mean, the fact that Sandy Ryerson was around for so long after, you know, touching a boy, a choir boy in the pilot, and then he's just a teacher at the school is like, no.
I usually feel there's at least a minimum of three Sue lines that are just super offensive today.
For sure. For sure.
You know, that's part of, it's a product of its time a little bit too, because it's like, I watch anything back. If you watch Friends back or any show, nothing ages well anymore.
That's true. That is very true. Do we want to just jump into some of your questions then? We're happy to answer them for
I'm
you.
I'm nervous. Let's see if we can answer any.
My main question, and this is something I've been dying to know, is around season two-ish. I know you guys did a concert movie, but was there ever any talk about doing a scripted movie?
That's a really good question. Kevin, do you know?
I don't. As far as we knew, I don't believe so. There might have been with the higher-ups, but the concert movie was already like a push. Like, I think that was already, it was hard to make that happen. And so I don't, especially by the end of the show where you naturally would have gone into a movie, I feel like everyone was just so done that I don't think that was even in anybody's minds.
It just seemed like around that time, we were capitalizing off so much that had to do with Glee. And so I wondered, I'm sure some people had those conversations at some point.
I vaguely remember them talking about a movie. And then we went into obviously the concerts. There obviously also wasn't a ton of time to do a movie or to shoot a movie. And like the content was like, I think they were keeping for the show at that point. And then we started losing off characters and people were graduating. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think even logistically, we wouldn't have been able to do it. And I think after the concert movie did not do so well financially, because we were so oversaturated, I think they then realized that that wouldn't be a good idea.
Right, right.
Well, and kind of going along with that, I wonder, was there any other projects that were next, like around that time you say oversaturation? Like, was there anything you remember thinking like, oh, phew, we're not doing that?
That's a good question.
I think we usually found out really late in the game on those things. Like if we were going to do, like we did Super Bowl commercials and
a reality show. Like,
yeah. And like on like Ritz crackers boxes and things like that, where like we usually didn't find out until like all the things business-wise were already agreed upon. So I'm sure there were things that didn't happen that were going to happen, but we wouldn't have known. I guess, which because we only find out like, okay, next week you're doing this, show up at this time. Like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot we didn't do.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even know. I go to like my parents' house and they have some like weird memorabilia stuff, like boxes of food and stuff that we were on. I'm like, what?
Crazy.
When did this happen?
Have you ever seen those Architectural Digest videos where people go into their homes? Do you know?
Oh, yes.
Hell yeah.
I watch every one.
They're my favorite thing. The Liv Tyler one, I think, is just like the best.
Oh, thing it's wild.
I haven't seen it. I gotta go check it out.
There's a scene where she's like in her attic and she's just like pulling out Lord of the Rings. It's so good. And I imagine you guys could probably just go into, I would love to see inside your attics to just see like what stuff you have from that era, because there was so much stuff and I was buying it. I was watching it. I was consuming it.
Right. Yeah. I had to purge a lot of it. A lot of it's at my family's house now. And when Kevin and I were living together, it was the height of the show. And we were getting gifts from Fox, like, you know, like framed pictures and plaques from, you know, our record label. And like, we would have two of everything. I mean, our house was two of every, like, Teen Choice, you know, surfboards. We had, like, everything was double. We're like, where?
We didn't even hang things on the walls because we just had too much.
Too much of it. We're like, where do we put all of this stuff? So I have whittled it down to one box of Glee memorabilia in my home. Yeah.
Jenna's very good about that. She's coached me through it because I also had a lot. And so I started giving a lot away. I do have some Teen Choice Award surfboards in my garage that I don't know what to do with.
You cannot surf on them.
You can't get rid of it ever.
No, I don't want to get rid of those.
Me neither.
But I just don't know where to put them.
I know. Yeah. So much stuff. So much stuff.
You know, I was at one of your co-stars' house once at a house party, and they had a Teen Choice. I'm not going to say who it was.
I bet I know who it is.
We definitely took photos with the Teen Choice Awards, my friend and I. It was like literally the highlight of my night. I was like, we're going to take a photo.
My friend was like, you can actually surf on this thing. I was like, who would surf on their Teen Choice?
Oh, all my friends say, like, you should take it out and try it. I'm like, no.
No.
What a dick. Like, hey, guys, I'm just here to catch some waves. You see, I won this award.
I would love that so much.
I dare you. I dare you.
This technology, how are you guys doing throughout all of this craziness?
Yeah, we're making it through. You know, we have food and shelter and we're home and we're sane. So we're doing as best we can.
And you're our guinea pig. You're the first one that we're doing like this. So thanks for putting up with us.
My pleasure. And I imagine there's tons of people out there who are binging Glee right now because everyone's home looking for stuff to binge.
Totally. We're getting a lot of that on Twitter. We're hearing a lot from our fans and lots of new, like, a new generation of kids who are too young to watch it back in the day are now watching it on Netflix as they are old enough now, which is also kind of crazy. So we're just seeing a new wave of fans, which is awesome. How are you doing with all of this?
You know, I'm doing good. I can't complain. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm getting a little stir crazy, but I'm happy that I'm healthy.
Yeah, I hear you. What was one of your favorite episodes of season one?
I mean, I had just rewatched the pilot very recently, and I remember seeing the pilot, like, didn't it come out on a DVD, like with Entertainment Weekly or something like that? I feel like
it might have. It aired before the rest of the first season because it was after an American Idol finale. So it did air early.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be making this up, but I feel like I had an Entertainment Weekly subscription and it came with the pilot, like a special edition of the magazine came in my mail and it had the pilot.
Honestly, that doesn't sound like far off from what.
Yeah. So, well, at least somebody gave me the pilot and I remember watching it and just, I'm from Ohio. So like the Ohio connection, like really resonated with me. And then also I was coming out at the time. And so a lot of like Kurt storyline and my parents, it was like a show that they would watch too. And I remember I didn't live in Ohio. I was living here in LA, but I would text with my dad about the show. And it was like one of the few things that we like connected on throughout that, especially the first two seasons. Yeah. And so I remember like the pilot and then the Madonna episode, which I think was like the next one. I remember being obsessed with that. And also thinking, this is how nerdy I am. I remember the Madonna episode was the first time Naya Rivera sang or had like a little solo, and I always loved her voice the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved all of your voices, but hers was like my favorite that I remember getting so excited that she sang. And I think it was like a version,
It took a while for like our Glee Club to all get solos. Like everybody was like delayed,
yeah, and which then is finally insane, you're too, like, because she can,
everybody can sing.
She can sing.
Yeah, exactly.
She had a very pop voice to me. Like everyone else had wonderfully, I mean, you guys all have great voices, but hers resonated in like a more poppy way to me.
Totally. Mm-hmm.
That's
totally
what I was kind of attracted to.
Yeah. Definitely.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, girl can sing.
Throughout this season, when you guys started having all these guest stars, it felt like every week was sort of event television. And even here living in Los Angeles amongst West Hollywood, I remember there'd be viewing parties and it was like such an era and such a, I don't know, the show was such a phenomenon that I remember it being everywhere and connecting with so many different people on this show or about this show, like my friends in Ohio and my new friends here. And so I don't know, there was something. And then of course, like as the show went on, people started dropping off the show and I continued watching it until the end. But
you did. You were one of our viewers.
One of the few at the end.
Kevin, I think you know Ira Madison. Him and I are good friends. And I remember we would text about it like towards the end and you were like, we're the only ones watching this.
That's so funny.
So true. Thank you.
And the finale was actually really, really great. But I think a lot of people have dropped off by then. But the real Gleeks like the finale.
I love 2009. That was the penultimate, right?
Yeah. The last two episodes were, those were great. And I remember I didn't watch them until a couple weeks yes. after.
Because we were, then, where were we, Kevin?
I watched it in, it sounds bougie, but I watched it in Paris.
Well, that's right. Because remember, yeah. that was in Paris. Was that we when were I at lost a convention. My marbles? Or no? No, that's right. That wasn't when I lost my marbles. we were at a convention and it aired. And then we came home and I remember watching it on my couch by myself, you know, on my DVR and like prepping myself for it.
Just yeah. Because-
Did you guys cry when you finally watched it? Like, not when you filmed
it. Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. That's why I was scared to watch it, because I just didn't know how I was going to feel about it. I didn't know if the episode was going to be good. And then it was sort of like this, if I don't watch it, then maybe it's not really over. Right. And then one of my best friends, Cleo, was in Paris with us, and we went out. I think I had like a drink. So I was like, okay, I have the courage now to do it. And we went back to the hotel. We laid in bed and watched both episodes and then just wept for a little bit.
Yeah, I definitely cried a lot. But we also cried like a lot the last day we shot. Like the last day we were filming was like the most emotional I think I've been in a long time. Because it was like everybody was there. And
was there anyone who didn't make it to that last song?
Like was they called everybody back, right? Wasn't everybody?
Yeah, everybody
back?
Came. Every from my memory, everybody came back. Yeah, yeah.
I think there were some people who like. I'm sure there were some people who like couldn't come back
because they're working. But otherwise, I think everybody came back.
They tried to get everybody.
Yeah, everybody was welcome. At least it wasn't like you and you. Like that number was great, but that wasn't the last thing we shot. The last thing we shot was Matt's number, Mr. Shoe's number in the choir room. Mm. And it was to all the new Glee Club members, right? All the new students and the older ones. And then they cleared out the newer students as we were finishing. And it was just like the core group of us. And that was like just heartbreaking.
That was
brutal. Emotional thinking about it now.
Yeah. So.
Before we keep going, let's give a shout out to LaCroix, a healthier alternative for you and your lifestyle. It's all I've been drinking in quarantine. In LaCroix. LaCroix sparkling water delivers refreshment, flavor, and sparkle with an innocent twist of zero calories, zero sweeteners, and zero sodium. There are 27 LaCroix flavors with classics like key lime and tangerine and pamplemousse, which is my favorite. And Nicola theme includes coconut cola and cubana. And make sure you try the newest additions to the LaCroix family, limoncello, and pastéque. LaCroix sparkling waters are gluten-free, vegan, kosher, and non-GMO, Whole30 approved, and environmentally friendly. LaCroix cans are sustainable and recyclable, and they're the first on the market to be produced without BPA liner. LaCroix sparkling water is available nationwide. So for a full list of retailers, visit LaCroixWater.com. And for more information, join the LaCroix community on social at LaCroix Water. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Showmance.
Make sure you go to the episode description and check out all our sponsorship deals.
Our sponsors are the reason Showmance is completely free to download.
And they can hook you up with great deals on stuff you love, stuff you need, and cool gifts for your friends and family.
We're in such sort of a dark time right now, and when Glee was on, I'm not saying that it was like a perfect time in American history, but it was like, there were so many things seemingly moving forward around Glee, and Glee was just like, I guess what I associate with that time period, with the era of Obama and gay marriage being legalized, and Glee of course was everywhere. It's just like those things all kind of run together in my head, and I think back to that era and it just seems so different from where we're at now, and it seems so hopeful back then, and maybe it's because of where I was in my life or something, but I'm not sure if that makes much sense, but
no, absolutely.
I think that's very true. And I think probably part of it was because it was where you were in your life, but I also think that was how we were all feeling. And I know Ryan Murphy always talked about the show was about hope. He would always say that. And I think it did feel sort of, I don't know, magical that it was at the same time and perfect that it was the same time of Obama, and his whole message was hope, and we all felt like we were progressing socially and inside and outside of the show, and it did feel like it was all synced up and Kismet, and that we were all part of the same forward progression together. And it does feel weird now to think back to those times. It was like, oh, well, we're just been under like a dark cloud for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
There's just a lot of wins back then, and there's just a lot of fight now. You know what I mean? We just have like so much to fight for right now. And not that we weren't before, but like it's just like pushing through. So I definitely feel the same way.
I've got to imagine that there'll be a reboot at some point. Like, I'm sure of it.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't want to like burst any of these bubbles, but like, yeah, I mean, maybe. And I'm all about it. But I guess like we're kind of like, I see like Saved by the Bell, and I see, you know, all these different reboots happening, and you're like, oh, I guess they're ahead of us, right? Like we have a couple of years, and we really only went off the air five years ago.
Right. Yeah.
It feels like a lot longer because
I feel like
out of it, but
yeah, I feel like a reboot could happen in a sense of they could just, you know, go back to William McKinley High and then see what's happening. Like, it doesn't, because they were already doing that every season. They'd bring in new students anyway. And so it wouldn't feel that crazy to me, but I also think the magic or the specialness of the show was that it was something new, right? And the world has changed so much since then, where we were speaking about things and showing kids different ways of looking and living and loving. And now, in a good way, that's represented on TV and in media every day by different people, which is wonderful. And so I don't know if it would have the same effect or have the same like immediacy that the show did a decade ago.
So because we're talking about Hello, we hadn't finished recapping the episode, Danny, but we were just getting to Hello Goodbye, which was our first Beatles number we ever did. We were very excited.
Right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we did Lennon's Imagine, and then we did the Beatles. We did Hello Goodbye.
Yeah.
Which was very exciting. But Kevin, do you remember what happened that day?
Hello, goodbye. No, but did something happen? Because I do remember, watching that number, I was like, there's something about this day that is memorable to me, and I don't know why.
So, Danny, you'll get a little glee tea here. So, we were in Long Beach, because that's where we were still shooting all of our musical numbers, was down at Cabrillo High. And it was, I think we were shooting around flu season. It was like somewhere around flu season.
Oh, back yes. To work. Yes.
And a lot of people were not feeling well. And we obviously, like, when one of us gets sick, it's kind of like a household of children. Like, everybody gets sick.
A household of children who make out with each other.
And we were doing this number. And all of a sudden, one of the girls goes to the side of the stage, and we're like, where's she going? And we hear like, and somebody's throwing up. So then they come back, and we go back, and we're doing the number again. And then somebody else goes to the side of the stage,
yep,
and just retches. And like half of us got sick. I got sick after shooting that number, and three of the girls got sick during that, and literally in garbage cans during that number. And we were all they were just retching and then coming back and doing it, because you just like want to get it done. You're like, or else we have to come back and do it again. So everybody just like powered through, but it was gnarly. Gnarly, gnarly.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was. Those were some of those musical number days where you're like, oh, I'll never forget it.
Annie, were there any musical numbers you wish we did but didn't do?
Well, I was actually just thinking about like who didn't you guys do? And I was trying to figure out, did you guys ever do, this is a deep cut, but Jessica Simpson or Ashley Simpson?
No.
Ugh, I wish.
That would have been great.
I know. I feel like that would have been great. I Think I'm in Love or Ashley's Pieces of Me or something. Like, I feel like that would have been great.
I mean,
Pieces of Me would have been
anything
great.
From her album, Autobiography, anything from that freaking album, I would have torn up.
I worship Mariah Carey too. And I can't remember. Did you guys do any Mariah?
We did. I mean, we at least did All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, that's right.
But
let's see.
Did we do any?
That is
weird.
Remember.
There was, we were very light on Mariah for some reason.
Yeah.
But I don't know if
we didn't.
It was always up to like Ryan. So it's like if she was on his mind, then we'd do it. Then I'm not sure if, yeah, that's a, That's crazy.
Dang. I mean, I'm a huge fan too.
The theme episodes when you guys would do like Madonna and stuff, that was always fun when it was someone I liked. But then other times when it was like someone I didn't like, I'm like, oh, crap.
Well, yeah, there's one that I absolutely loved and was very excited and very upset I didn't get to do a number that Kevin did not like. Do you remember, Kevin? Come on.
Wait, the Fleetwood Mac one?
Uh-uh. Who do you not like? Older male artist.
Oh, Billy Joel.
That's right. Kevin's not the biggest Billy fan, and I am Jenna, the biggest because I'm from Long Island. So
it's screwed up you didn't get to do a Billy Joel song.
I was so upset. I was like, what the hell? What the hell?
I got a Billy Joel song.
Which Billy Joel song did you do?
Wasn't Honesty a Billy Joel song?
Yes, yes. I really wanted to do Vienna.
Well, Jenna, now's the time. Post it on your Instagram.
No. The Beatles was also a fun one. Two episodes.
I'm trying to think. I love the Britney one. The Britney one was... I like all the pop girls.
Yeah.
Those are always most fun to do, too.
What other themed ones did we do? We did Beatles. We did Britney. We did Madonna.
Did we do a disco one?
Yes. Is that when we did Mamma Mia?
I didn't like the disco one. No, I think that was different.
You're right. The disco one was totally different. You're right.
Yeah. I just remember like you were injured or something. You hurt yourself.
I always hurt myself.
I think it's so great that you guys are doing this podcast. It's very similar. I know the Office ladies, Jenna Fisher.
Yeah, we love them.
They're doing a recap podcast. And as a fan of pop culture and these shows, like it's so much fun to hear like stories because to you guys, they might just be like a silly story about, you know, or someone throwing up on the side of the stage during a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. But like fans, we like hearing that stuff because that's like a peek behind the curtain that we would never get to see otherwise.
Right. And
so you guys or the Office ladies are doing these types of podcasts, I think is so brilliant, so wonderful. And I would read the shit out of a book if it was like all about the not so dramatic stuff. I think that's really fun for us who are obsessed with pop culture. So I would encourage you guys, aside from the podcast, also doing like some sort of book that was like just all about the experience and some of like the things that you might find mundane, but that other people I think would really love.
Well, thanks, Danny. You'll get a commission if we do.
I'd like to hear Ryan Murphy's book. I'd like to read that.
Oh my goodness. Yes, I would too. I definitely would too. I vote for Ryan to write it.
He has other things to write about, just Glee.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm sure he's got so many good stories.
Well, actually, season two of Glee gets more into that stuff.
I'm actually really excited to recap season two because I vaguely remember, like, I don't remember the episodes as much as I remember, like, what was going on and, like,
yes,
what they were writing
the stories behind
for.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm really excited to do that if we do that.
You guys have a point in the show where you felt like you were on autopilot. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
totally. Absolutely.
Going into season three, I would say it started to get not exhausting. I mean, we were exhausted, but like we've been here before. We know what we're doing now. We've seen a lot, you know, like we kind of saw the world outside of Glee. And then like everybody started getting like, you know, a little ambitious as well, which like, as you do, we're getting offers left and right. And so people started to create their own lives outside of Glee, which was like, it started to become a little bit like work. And for me, that lasted for quite a little bit. And then I didn't pop back to like appreciate the show until like season five.
Yeah.
Because you knew it was getting towards the end.
Yeah. And to be honest, like after Corey passed, like it brought us together in a different way and in a way that reminded us why we were there and what we were doing. And like, you know, he gave us that. Like at least for me personally, like I came back around and I was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like I get what's important and I get what we're doing. And that for me was like really, really important.
How about you, Kevin?
I would say season three was the first time where it felt comfortable, where season one and two were so physically grueling and we had done the tour. So I think season three, we felt more in sort of a rhythm. And I feel like the days weren't as long. And like Jenna said, it did feel more like a job. And season four, with Corey passing, it did feel more like less about the show and the work and more about us being there for each other, not just the cast, but the crew, all the production team. And so that became more, that was a whole separate experience.
Right.
And then season five and on, it sort of felt like, as Darren once said, he's like, I always wondered what it would be like to be on a show towards the end where you felt like a cat that had gotten a leg run over and was trying to cross the road. And I was like, yes, that is what it feels like. He's like, yeah, it's starting to feel like that, isn't it? Where you could tell it was coming to an end. Mm. And so like everyone was just sort of like, is this good anymore? And so it was like, you know, in the beginning when you're really proud of the episodes, you're proud of the impact it's having. And that's a whole different feeling. And then towards the end where, especially, I mean, after Corey passed, it was a whole different thing where the show was no longer the same show. And I think it's hard to recover from that, yeah, understandably. Definitely. And I think it was just sort of like, okay, how do we end this? And I would have done it forever, but I think I can't imagine, you know, having to be the writers during that time and having to sort of, and Ryan having to re-navigate how the show was supposed to go. So season three was a changing point.
Yeah. And towards the end, honestly, though, it's like our core group, we got all these new amazing cast members and, like, you know, thank goodness for them, because like they breathed new air into it for us, at least in the choir room, the people who are still at McKinley. But like we lost a lot of our people to New York, and we like never saw Leah. We never saw Chris. We never saw Naya. So like when Kevin, you went to New York, like it was like, oh, like those were the people I knew. And then these are new friends that I hang out with all the time now. So it felt very divided, and not in a bad way, just like, oh, okay, this is the new norm.
It was just different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so different. Also, with a show like that, where you guys were producing how many episodes per season?
22
is like so many for an hour long show.
It's a lot.
I just feel like for any writer, it must be difficult to go at that pace, especially for more than a couple seasons. Like I love the model that a lot of shows, particularly Ryan Murphy, does the model where it's just so few episodes. And so I think that's the way to go now.
It is the way that people are doing it now, and it totally works. And
after Glee, he's like, never again.
Yeah, you don't have to do those transition episodes. You know what I mean? You just hit your marks, and like you hit every mile marker at every episode.
There's no filler.
Like, exactly. Before we wrap this up, any other questions, Jenny?
Was there a song that you guys wish you would have gotten to do, or that somebody else did on the show that you wish you got?
Huh.
You know, I felt after like I got to do some Michael Jackson songs, I was good. So I feel pretty content with what I got to do.
That's the way I feel. Like earlier on, I was like, I want to do a Celine number. And then I got one. And I was like, oh, I want to do Florence and the Machine. And then I got it. And then I was like, oh, I want to do Katy Perry and Lady Gaga. And I got those. So like things finally, like it took a little while for Tina to ramp up. But then finally I was like getting everything that I had wished for. And Ryan kind of found his groove with Tina. So like that I was really grateful for. But there's this one song we did that was supposed to be, we said this in another episode, but there's a song that we did instead of Shake It Out first. And it was supposed to be to Coach Beast. We did Love the Way You Lie, the Rihanna version. And was it part one or two, Kevin?
Part two.
So it's just Rihanna. And like we covered that. And I just wish that they would have released that, because we recorded it in its entirety. And then like, for some reason it got kiboshed. And so I wish that people could have heard that song, because I was really proud of it. And I just love the way it came out. Danny, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. Anytime you want to come back and chat, if there's an episode that you love, and you know, just let us know, and we can chat about it and get you in here.
Yes, thank you. Nice to meet you over these self-isolation times.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for doing this show. I think all of us Gleeks are thrilled about it. So thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Okay, guys, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too.
You too.
Take care.
Bye.
Glee. Kevin, that was Danny's great. He was like a total Gleek. I love it.
What a sweet man.
What a nice guy. And I love
it. Is.
I love chatting with people who actually were fans and have like real questions about the show. It's just so interesting. We forget. We know everything. We lived it. So like for people who don't know things, like I love answering these questions.
Yeah. And like hearing how the show affects affected their life, and like hearing how he and his dad would watch the show and then talk about it. Like, that's wonderful.
So nice. So, so nice. Okay. Should we do Gleek of the Week?
Hell yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
Hi, Kevin and Jenna. My name's Madeline, and I love, 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 love Glee. It's one of my favorite shows. I've watched it a bunch of times. I love Kevin's music, and Jenna, I love that you were in Waitress. Waitress is one of my favorite musicals. I don't know that I have any questions for you. I just wanted to tell you guys how much I love you. Thank you for all you guys do. You guys are amazing, and Kevin's album has literally been my, like, work-at-home playlist the past couple of weeks. Thank you so much for all you do, and thank you for still being on the air through this rough time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye.
Aww. Madeline, Gleek of the Week.
Yeah. Gleek. Thanks for listening to the podcast and to my music.
To Kevin's music. It's getting her through, Kevin. You're doing good. You That's did good nice. Stuff. Good stuff. I love hearing that people, like on Twitter, are getting so many messages that you guys are watching Glee again and also listening to our podcast. So thank you so much. We hope that it brings you some levity and during this crazy time. So we're grateful for all of you. And
we can all connect together during this craziness.
That's right. Well, great news, Kevin. We're going to keep going, right? We're just going to we're going to keep watching Glee with you guys. So,
come back next week.
Next week is Power of Madonna.
Oh. This will be a fun one.
I cannot wait to watch this
one. Oh yeah.
This
I'm
is
super
good.
Excited.
I am just getting flashbacks of Tina and Artie scenes together.
Oh, God.
The numbers are so good.
You know, it's one of those, pour yourself a tall glass of wine, put on the Power of Madonna, and just have a good time because you can't go anywhere else.
I'm going to do just that.
Great. Great.
Amazing. Well, we hope you guys are staying safe and healthy out there, and we're thinking of you all, and thanks for listening. Go watch Madonna, come back and recap with us next week, and we'll see
you. I'll talk to you next week, Jenna.
Talk to you next week, Kevin. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.